It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Hey, thank you for joining me here in another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, broadcasting at 10 p.m. on Sunday nights here in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world on the iHeartRadio Network. Of course, here in the metro area on 710 WOR. Thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings, of course, Nielsen is the global measurement and data analytics company. They have our show in the top 10 in New York AM radio. How exciting is that? Top 10 in New York AM radio. Nielsen. Nielsen has us there. And of course, the thank you goes to you, the listeners of this program. Why? Because without you, we wouldn't be in the top 10 of New York AM radio. So thank you for coming to trust that week in and week out, we will provide fantastic business content for you to then take and incorporate into your business and be successful. We've had so many great and prominent executives and business gurus on our show. Dr. Adrian Boise, the Chief Experience Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Dick Schulz, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy. We had the Director of Marketing at UPS, Jason Robinson. Seth Godin, Shep Hyken, Ramon Ray. Joe Hart, we recently had the President and CEO of Dale Carnegie, and so many other fantastic interviews. They're all available for free by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And if you follow us on YouTube, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you will automatically be notified every single time a video episode of the show goes live. Tonight's interview with none other than Stephen Gaffney is being recorded as a video as well. And therefore, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel on YouTube, we're at 710 WOR, Mind Your Business, you will automatically be notified when the video episode goes live. Well, as we do each week, just to be a mensch, and Stephen talks about this, so I can't fail, and he talks about being truthful. A special shout out to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, who assist to make this show so successful. In particular, Srilly, Michal, Bracha, Miriam, Avigail, Elio, thank you. And to the great programming team at 710 WOR, Darren, Robert, thank you. Zev Brenner, the veteran radio personality who precedes me here, thank you for these shout outs each week. Thank you, Zev. And just a quick mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Of course, we're on all the popular podcasting platforms. We have a robust YouTube channel, right? 710 WOR, Mind Your Business. We're on Lakewood Scoop every day. They feature the business class clips. Nucky Radio, The Jewish Home, they feature a print summary of many shows in a Q&A format. And of course, Business Class Clips, that's the daily micro-learning video clips featured on WhatsApp and Instagram. Sign up today on WhatsApp by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519. Again, text SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 to receive the daily Business Class Clips. Well, without further ado, we're going to go to a dear friend and a very special and talented individual, Stephen Gaffney. Stephen Gaffney is the global authority on teaching organizations to tell the truth and communicate more effectively. He works with small companies and I believe even Fortune 500 companies. One of his clients, I think last time I slipped accidentally and he gave me the look, so I cannot slip. But it's a government, a large government body, and that's I think if I say any more, I'm gonna get into trouble. So I'm gonna leave it at that. But Stephen Gaffney, he is a leading expert on honest communication. He has helped thousands of people out there understand the value and the importance of sharing information both at home and at work. Stephen has again helped many types of organizations focus on communications. Without further ado, Stephen, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Yes, and I'm going to share, as I've shared in the past, I picked up a book a while ago called Be a Change Champion, Mastering Momentum, 10 Factors for Sustaining the Boom and Avoiding the Bust of Change. He's written many books, and he's actually an NSA $1 million in the NSA Million Dollar Speakers Group, which is obviously a very lofty plateau in the world of public speaking, highly sought after. And the reason why we wanted to get Steve on the show is because, thank God, we certainly hope that we're post-pandemic at this point, certainly to a very, very large degree, certainly for what the world went through in the last 16 months. And people are returning to normal to by and large. Not everything is back to the way it was, but by and large, there are many aspects of life that are returning to normal. And therefore, businesses have to go and really have to go from surviving to thriving. And that involves change, right? The last 16 months, we changed. We had to adapt to that reality, but we're back. So it's not just snapping the finger and saying, okay, it's back to the way it was at the end of 2019. No. So let's, I'm going to turn to Steve. Perhaps you could share, in fact, we're going to jump into why is change so important? And how should it be framed from an executive point of view, from the management point of view to the team, in order to make sure that it's implemented in order to see a business be successful?
Well, thanks for having me. And
of
let me
course.
Jump right into it. So one of the things is that it's so important to change, because if we are not progressing in life, we are regressing. There is no such thing as status quo. So there's never been a business that says, I've got it handled. Because as soon as we say we've got it handled, a competitor passes us by. So we always need to change. So leads to the second part, your second question about how do you frame it up, essentially. And one of my big ways that I always advise people to frame it up is, instead of using the word change, use the word evolve. Think about it. If we say we're going to change something, people go, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? But if you say, listen, there's nothing wrong with what we've done in the past. We are now evolving to the next chapter of our business. Who can argue with that? So if somebody says, well, what's wrong with the way we did it before? Your response as an executive or leader is to say, nothing. We are just now advancing. If we are not progressing, we are regressing.
So words matter. Words really matter. Yeah.
And let me just say something about words. Words matter when we are sincere. We've all attended these seminars and sessions and received coaching that sometimes use gimmicky language that I just am not a big fan of, because unless we mean what we say, it doesn't work. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
This is a tiny example, but you hear it all the time. You know what? Don't use but. Use and. So people say, blah, 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 and. But really what they mean is but. If you mean to use the word but, just say it. But if you can authentically say and, so it might be, listen, we've had some challenges, and we need to look at the next chapter of our business. So I'm not saying to not use the word and, but I'm so tired of people who give advice and they don't even necessarily try it on. Is it sincere? So if it doesn't come from the heart, if it isn't sincere, do not use it, because people are smart and they can tell when we are using gimmicks.
I want to hold on to the concept of change. What are the myths of change? I don't know if you have a number to it, but what are the common myths that have to do with change?
Well, here there are three of my favorites. So the first is that change causes problems. You hear this all the time. Look at all the problems change is causing. But change doesn't cause so many problems. It reveals more problems. So change reveals more problems than it causes. So often somebody will say, but look at the problems. And my response is, wasn't it there before? For example, somebody might say, well, that department is so hard to deal with as we're changing and moving forward. My response is, were they a piece of cake before? Most of the time, it reveals more problems than it causes. This is why change or evolving is so important, because it makes us stronger. We reveal problems that really needed to get addressed long ago. So that's one. The second one that's a big favorite of mine is change takes time. We need to give people time. That's nonsense. You know, there's many things COVID has proved, but one thing that COVID has definitely proved is change can happen in an instant. Think about this. How many businesses, if we said, you know what, we're going to go to more of a remote workplace. Well, you know, let's have a big strategic meeting and plan, blah, 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 blah. It happened overnight. Why? Because change can happen in an instant if people really want it to. So much of it is benefit and drive and has very, very little to do with time. Change can happen in an instant if we really want it. That's the second one. And the third one is, and we hear this all the time, you know what? People can't change. You just got to deal with it. Well, where would we be today if the greatest leaders of our time, like Gandhi and Martin Luther King and so many other great leaders, said, you know what, you can't change people. We'd never be anywhere. But they believed that people could change or evolve or however we language it. But I believe people can change if they really want to. Let me give you an easy example. Let's say somebody can't quit a habit, right, like smoking. And then they suffer through some health issue and suddenly they change. I'm saying this because whether it's work or personal life, people can change if they really want to. And so framing it up deals with, well, why don't people change? And why is it so hard, which we can talk about.
My guest is Stephen Gaffney. Before I go to a commercial break, Stephen, how can people find out more about your company and the valuable services that you offer to companies?
Thank you. So if they go to justbehonest.com, justbehonest.com, and they actually say that they listen to your show and they send me an email and say that what they used, the information they've used out of this talk, I will send them the Be a Change Champion, the very book that you held up. I'll send that to them for free, the electronic version. Wow. And all they need to do is share how they've used what they've learned out of this talk today.
That's special. So what? How could they, is there a website and then your email is listed on the website?
So if they go to the website, there's contact information, you know, how to reach us, and just say that. Say, listen to your show, and essentially say, this is what I did with the information, and we will send them that book for free.
And if you could just please repeat the URL.
Oh, yes. Justbehonest.com. That's justbehonest.com.
Amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luke Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
If you're running a business, you know how hard it is to penetrate your target market, but I'm looking to change that. Hi, I'm Yitzhak Saflis, host of the Mind Your Business Show and CEO of Bottom Line Marketing Group. Visit bottomlinemg.com, that's bottomlinemg.com, to get an idea for how we can help your business grow and increase market share. Call me for a free marketing consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Gotta go. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and throughout America and throughout the world on the iHeartRadio Network. And, of course, our YouTube channel. I just want to give a mention of our very robust YouTube channel. If you subscribe to 710 WOR, Mind Your Business, on YouTube, then you will automatically be notified whenever a broadcast goes live as a video. Yeah, tonight we are videoing it. So you'll get to see Steven in action, and he does his antics and his microphone on his chest and all that. You get to see it. So yes, there is an advantage to watching it. And of course, we know, as Steve probably has even the stats of how much information goes in, how much stronger information goes in when they both see and hear something as opposed to just hearing something. But that's, I know, not the purpose of tonight's show, but I'm sure there's stats on that. Steve, of course, thank you for joining me once again here on Mind Your Business. Let's talk about, this is a really important direction for so many executives out there. People now, right, businesses are coming back, and they're implementing new ideas, new marketing initiatives. Maybe they're rolling out a new product. And perhaps you could walk us through the funnel, maybe the psychology of what happens. A management or an executive is presenting the idea, and then you know how it is. You know, people are like, well, it's not going to work because of this and that and everything. And meanwhile, they like, how does that, why is that, that people initially resist and it takes time to build buy-in? And then perhaps, again, just building out this big question here, how do you gain buy-in by a team in order to see the vision through?
Well, first of all, let's talk about, you know, people resisting change. And one of the most common, I could have added a fourth myth that people say, people don't like change. It's just nonsense. And I'll prove it to you. You know, if the people who are listening or watching us or both could just think to themselves, how many people do they know who have ever sought a move? And let's face it, moving is not fun.
Right.
But people who have actually sought a different location, sought a different job, got married, got divorced, had kids or whatever. There's so many changes that we actually seek out that are major changes. So if we didn't really like changes, we would never do any of that. The truth is that it's not that people don't like change. They don't like bad change. And so most people have had a bad experience when it comes to so many company and organizational changes. In fact, here's some interesting statistics. 70% of organizational changes fail to achieve their original objective. Think about that, 70%,
wow.
Which means most people who have been in some type of company and organization change, you know, 70% of the time, it's not worked out. So of course they're gonna resist. And if it's a cultural change, it goes up to 81% chance failure. So we can talk about what to do about this,
right.
But let's first be honest and fair and considerate and compassionate. And when people resist, say, you might want to say, I don't blame you. I can understand when you're first hearing this. So we shouldn't get rattled, and we should start to deal with how do we overcome that. And so one of the ways to overcome this is to see what causes and why changes fail and how to turn it around. So there are four pillars of change, which we can get really into, and
yes,
I spend a lot
please.
Of time in a session.
Yes.
But let me just give you one as an example. One of the reasons why change fails, which is what we should do when executing, is make it crystal clear the end objective. So often I've been brought into transformational organizational changes, IT changes or whatever, and I'll say to them, well, what's the outcome? What do you want to achieve? And so often I hear rambling. And the reason why it's rambling time is because they haven't thought it really clear. And even if they are able to make it clear, and we can talk about how to make it clear,
mm-hmm.
it's not necessary. It may be clear to them, but not clear to the other person. Here's a little test. How do we define clarity? It's not by the sender, it's by the receiver. So one of the first things to do when we're sensing resistance is say to people, listen, what are you hearing us say? What's the end objective? What do you think the end objective is? And chances are when there's a problem, it's because people are hearing things that aren't really the end objective. They might be hearing, oh, we're going to go through all these changes and I might lose my job. And you're saying, I never said that. You might have never said that, but people will mishear and add to things. So making it crystal clear and testing it. And we can talk about how to make those outcomes crystal clear as well.
Yes, yes, please. Please continue to share that you're on a roll here. And this is the type of information that the listeners are looking for.
So the first thing to do is the outcome of a change should be no more than two sentences.
Wow.
No more than two sentences. Now people say, but it's complicated. Yeah, but what's the end objective? What are you trying to ultimately achieve? Because the longer it goes on, nobody's going to remember it. I mean, just think about, like, this is so easy to see. Like, you see vision and mission statements on company websites, and it all sounds the same. It's just remarkable. Or they argue over, you know, is it customer satisfaction or customer happiness? I mean, come on. What are we ultimately trying to achieve by whatever the change is? So if it's more than two sentences, it's probably not that clear. The second thing is that we want, and think about one more thing on the clarity.
Sure.
People think in pictures. So one of the heroes on this concept, obviously, as one of the best speakers ever on that, was Martin Luther King. I Have a Dream speech. Right. And if you study many of his speeches, he created images in people's mind. But that's what we want to do. Like when Microsoft said, we're going to put a computer on everyone's desk. That's crystal clear. Right. The end objective. All right, you may disagree, you may like the company and not like the company, or whatever the case may be, but we're crystal clear on what we're doing. Amazon has something to the effect, be the ultimate retailer on where they sell everything online. And you know what? They are moving on that. Now, I might have butchered that statement, right, but essentially that's the end objective. So what's the end objective of what we're doing? And so is it creating a picture in people's mind? Another thing to consider when creating an outcome is to make sure it's positive. But I'm not saying positive as in happy-go-lucky. I'm saying, are you saying what you want or what you don't want? So think about this. Have you ever gone to a museum and they said, you know, don't touch?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it's so tempting to just touch because they told us not to, right? The way our mind is. But so what am I saying by this? We don't want to say to avoid mistakes or have less safety problems. We want to say what we want to accomplish, whatever it may be. Increase revenue by 10%. Maybe increase how the customer rates us by an increase of 10%. Whatever it is coming to mind, say what you want, not what you don't want. Another element in making it really clear is to make sure it's inspiring. And how you know it's inspiring is if other people can see the benefits to themselves in what we're saying. So a lot of times I've seen executives will say an objective of all sorts, but it's of revenue and things that are maybe important to them and maybe important to the next layer down or a few layers down. But the bottom line person who's coming to the job, okay, they get the idea of companies making millions or whatever dollars, but it's really how does it translate to them? So why would you resist change? Because you could see that the company could make more money, but if I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job, of course I'm going to resist. So a great outcome is where people can get inspired, thus they can see the benefit to them. Remember, everybody for the most part moves on their self-interest. Yes, I understand there are exceptions, but I don't mean that people are selfish. I'm saying they need to see how their self-interest, how there's a benefit to them. All of that is, makes an important outcome to consider.
My guest is Stephen Gaffney. He's a noted author, speaker, and is sought after by companies of all sizes and even government organizations. Stephen, how can people find out more information about your offerings?
Oh, thank you. So if they go to justbehonest.com, our website, and if they, again, if they're able to say what they've learned out of the talk and they actually shared that, if they go to justbehonest.com, and you'll see how to contact us. It's very, very easy. And say they've listened to the show, they've shared the information, we'll send them Be a Change Champion for free. And I really mean that. It's the electronic version, wow, but it's the one that people pay for right there. Right. And I will send it a free. And people say, why do you do that? Well, it's great to stay in contact with people, but here's the thing. What drives me to do what I do is I love people to produce results. And that's one of the things is what drives people to have better lives, better companies. That's what drives me. So I want people to use this, not just say, you know what, that was really interesting. No, I want people to go out and do something with this information.
We're going to be back with Steve right after this. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saflis right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. A reminder, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, 710 WOR Mind Your Business, you will automatically be notified every single time the video episode of our Mind Your Business show goes live. Again, if you subscribe on YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business, you will automatically be notified when the video part goes live. Well, tonight we are with Stephen Gaffney. He wrote the book, Be a Change Champion, Mastering Momentum, 10 Factors for Sustaining the Boom and Avoiding the Bust of Change. He's written many books. And he's a sought-after speaker. He's in the, he's a NSA Million Dollar Speakers Group. So he is. it's not so easy to get Stephen, but when we reach out, he always responds very graciously. And Stephen, it's always amazing to have you on, and really
special. I love being on your show.
Thank you.
Love it.
And in, you know, the best part for me is that I could toss you anything. You tell me that, and I really do. And I'm like, yeah, this guy just, you know, and. And we are talking about a delicate subject. Let's face it. Change is one of those words that is very invigorating to some and terrifying to others. And did I put it? Is that true?
Is that true? It is.
You know, to some, like, because, yeah. Yeah, change is like, yay, it's vision. And another one, change, what does that mean?
But the good news is there's so many things that we can do about that. And some of it is not falling in the traps that we already talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yep. So now I need to ask you this following question, and that is, given how important it is to have talented people on the team, right? People with high capacity, people that are problem solvers, etc. When executing a major change or transformation, what is your tip to attract and retain top talent?
Well, first of all, I want to address that when we're doing change or evolving, it's sure a lot better when we have great people around us. So this is a big issue, and it's especially a big issue now because I don't know if you know this, but in May, more people quit their job than in any other month in almost a century. People are reevaluating. And so most of the news out there is, you know, how tough this is. I think it's a great opportunity to steal great talent for people that may have never wanted to move, but now are. So what do we do? How do we make our company great? And how do we keep the people that we really care for and are doing a great job in the company.
Right.
And that is, I'm going to give you the overall statement, the most important thing to remember, and then how to execute. That is, when people love their job, they'll stay. That's it. I know there's a lot of stuff on people don't leave the jobs, they leave their boss or their communication, stuff like this, all of which are components. But fundamentally, people put up with a lot if they really love their job. So let's look at the four components that make people love their job.
Yeah.
The first one is to have a strong mission. You know, I learned this in the military. And let me just say something. You know, I do a lot of work. I've done a lot of work in the military.
And you said it, not me. Yeah,
yes.
you slipped, not me.
Yeah, the military is fantastic to work for, and I've learned a lot. But I'll just give you an insight. You know, when sometimes people say, well, that person left because of money, I understand there are, that may be possible, but that's not usually what the studies show, and I'll prove it to you by what a client said to me, reminding his folks. He said, listen, people will go into the military and earn just above poverty and willing to sacrifice their life. Why? Because they believe in the mission and the purpose. And so how does that translate to all of our lives? It's important to revisit with people, not only our purpose, right? You know, finding your why and whatever, but I say purpose with an impact. What I mean by purpose with an impact, it's one thing to say our purpose is to produce a great product, right? Or service, or to be number one. But how about this? Our objective is to produce a great product or service or be number one so that our customers have lives that are better. And then if we create that picture, you know, they're at home and they're using our products and they're having a happy life. They're able to teach their kids certain things. The more we translate into the impact, the more people feel a calling. So one of the things to revisit is and make sure and double back is the mission or purpose with an impact is what I say. The second thing is our specialty, our differentiator. How, given our purpose, how do we differ from other companies? And of course, you've interviewed the great Mark Levy. And if anybody hasn't heard of Mark, this is the guy to check out.
Yep.
He is an expert at understanding and helping organizations find out their differentiator and making it crystal clear. And so, no matter what, are we saying how we differ? Now, I know this sounds similar, but I work with a lot of people in the defense government contracting world, in the hospitality industry, and a lot of it. And when you ask them the way they say their company, it sounds like every other company. But the truth is every company does differ, and they do have a different culture. Let me give you an example. Marriott, which is the number one hotel chain in the world, there's a lot of hotel chains. But Marriott is founded on the principle that if you take care of employees, they'll take care of the customer. Now, that sounds, well, we believe that, but really, do you drive that home? I've done work with Marriott, and of course they care about their customer, but they are very driven by their employees. In fact, they're so driven, they don't even call their employees employees. They call them associates. So here's my point, is are we really creating a differentiator from the other companies? That's an important. Third, why do people love their job? Is when they're part of a great team, part relationships. You know, I've done and do a lot of work around how to create high achieving teams, consistently high achieving teams. And of course, it's to make, obviously, to achieve more. But so much of it is people will stay when they feel like they're part of a family, when they feel like people've got their back. In fact, Harvard did a study, and they studied a group of men, as it turns out, but it would have been, I'm sure it would have been with women as well. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is they were looking at what makes people happy. And the number one thing that makes people happy is relationships, the quality of relationships, and essentially the feeling that somebody has your back. So the third element is making sure that people love the team, the relationships. And the fourth is that they love their job. We can love all those other things, the mission, you know, and the differentiator and the team, but do people, are they in the right job where they're able to excel? I really do believe everybody is talented. The question is, great leaders figure out what somebody's talented in. And let's face it, some people have a hard time figuring that out for themselves. You know, I remember a friend of mine who's a CFO, and he had to make a move with somebody who was a manager, and he had to move them out. And the person was very resistant. See, I can't believe you're doing this. And 30 days later, the person came back and said, thank you. You saw something I didn't even see. And you know what? I'm managing is not really my forte. But the new role is exactly what I needed. So leadership is about bold moves, but it's about having people also be in the right job, not just in the right bus, you know, all that stuff. But the idea is that they're in a job that they are able to excel with their strengths. And that's very important. And if you do those four things, they're not leaving. They're just not.
Are there any other tips that you would suggest in order to, and like you said, you know, the fact that the job market now, that there's a lot of talent out there, what else? And you pointed out and say it's not always money. Money is definitely a factor, but it's not always money.
Absolutely.
Any other tips to attract great talent?
Well, let's put it this way. This deals with the marketing and how we're actually portraying ourselves as a company.
Right.
You know, we can have these differentiators and those elements, those four loves, but then do our ads and how we're recruiting, is the message sounding like of other companies? And, you know, and you have to really ask these tough questions. And so one way to do this is to put your ad and other ads in a room and ask people, can they even differentiate which company goes to where? And so the thing is, are we really portraying ourselves differently? And even if we are internally, the question externally, and then are we getting our entire workforce behind it? Because are they telling their friends and families to come work for the company? And so what are companies doing now that I think it's nice, but I don't think it's going to move the needle? They're offering big bonuses for employees to actually get their friends and, you know, and people involved. That's nice, but let's look at, you would want people to work with you, your best friends, if you really think that the company is great. That's why Gallup poll, I think, asks, you know, their studies and stuff, you know, do you have a best friend at work? Which I used to think, why are they asking that question? But now doing all the work I do on relationships and communication and teamwork, it's critically important. So are we advertising? Are we getting the whole company involved? And so here's the very simple thing to bring it all home. Another guy I know, he had lost a really key person. So I said to him, I talked to him about this whole thing, about what I'm telling you. He said, you know, I never really thought about it. And I said, let me give you an easy to do. To shore up the people on your team, is ask them, what would make you love your job more? What would make you love your job more? Not what do you dislike and like, because that'll be kind of niceties. No, what would increase? And chances are, here's one big thing to pay attention to. Bureaucracy. Approval letters. Layers. And an example of this is I had a company who took one of my processes that can convert a plan into within 2 hours. It's called the 218 strategy. I could go into it, but in its essence, they moved down on, but they created a tiger team of sorts on how to look at bureaucracy, and they found out layers of approval was in the way. They reduced the layers and it increased retention. The point I'm trying to make is really look at what's the bureaucracy, and is it easy to work for your company or is it hard, and what would make people love their job more?
My guest is Stephen Gaffney. He wrote many books. The one that got me hooked on Steve is Be a Change Champion, Mastering Momentum, the 10 Factors for Sustaining the Boom and Avoiding the Bust of Change. Before we go to a commercial break, Steve, how could people find out more about the offerings that your company does for, again, you said for the military and for the rest of us?
Yes. I mean, I worked in the gold mining industry, all kinds of different things. But so here's the thing, as if they go to our website, justbehonest.com, and they say they've listened to the show and share what they've learned out of the show and what they've shared with others, send us an email. It's easy. Justbehonest.com. And we will send them that book, the electronic version, for free. All I ask is that they go on the website, share how they've learned and what they've shared with other people. I want people to go out and use it. And let me just say one quick thing.
Sure.
These are all things you can use in your own personal life. We haven't even talked about that. If you want to change an aspect of your life, why do we resist change? What are we going to do about it? How do we make this happen? And all of this stuff can help us all improve our lives.
Amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
If you're running a business, you know how hard it is to penetrate your target market, but I'm looking to change that. Hi, I'm Yitzhak Saflis, host of the Mind Your Business Show and CEO of Bottom Line Marketing Group. Visit bottomlinemg.com, that's bottomlinemg.com, to get an idea for how we can help your business grow and increase market share. Call me for a free marketing consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Gotta go.
Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert, and I'm excited to tell you about my new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. Now, this book is packed with idea after idea on how to, just as the title implies, get your customers to come back. In the book, you'll learn that repeat customers aren't always loyal customers. Now, both are great, but there's a big difference. You'll also learn about 10 reasons a customer may stop doing business with you and 3 reasons you would stop doing business with them. And one of my favorite lessons is a 6-step process for creating an I'll be back strategy. Of course, there's much, much more. The book ships out in September, but purchase it today and you'll get instant access to the ebook at no extra charge. Just go to www.illbebackbook.com. Again, that's www.illbebackbook.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you so much for joining us. My guest is the global authority on teaching organizations to tell the truth and communicate more effectively, none other than Stephen Gaffney. Stephen, thank you again for joining us here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You're a great, great interviewer.
Thank you. Thank you. Stephen, I know I keep it coming back to the book, but hey, this is, I really enjoyed it. And that's when I was like, and sure enough, you see the relationship that we have. One of the key items that you discuss in the book, Be a Change Champion, is, I just love it. It said, prevent the perfectionitis that is slowing down your initiative's progress. Now, just before I hand it over to you, I don't want people to think that we don't seek perfection, right? Because this is like it's a double-edged sword. You know, on one hand, people come, especially to a marketing firm, people are coming to a marketing firm because they want creativity, and they want it executed, and they want it executed perfectly. Yet at the same time, when you're brainstorming or when you're charting out an idea, it's not perfect at the beginning. And there are many people that get stuck because of perfectionitis. Did you trademark that word, Steve? So perhaps you could discuss it and the impediments and why it causes so many great ideas to grind to a halt.
So first of all, as we get into this, I just want to say that I understand about perfection, and there are certain times when we do need to get things perfect or as close to perfect as possible. I do a lot of work in the nuclear industry, for example, and you pretty much want to get that exactly right.
We certainly hope so.
In fact, so much of my audiences are technical engineers and scientists, and so I'm very used to this. But here's the issue. There's a lot of things that don't require perfection. So this whole idea of moving with, at good enough sounds essentially nice, but how do we implement this? So I do a lot of work with how to create consistently high achieving teams. And there's 12 essential elements, but one of them is around this. And it's move with speed by knowing when good enough is good enough. So you move with speed by distinguishing, by knowing when good enough is good enough. So what does that mean? How do we do it? So let's actually go, let's explain how people think and the projects.
Sure.
So I'm drawing this for those people that are just listening. I'm, what do you call this? It's a graph, L-shape,
yeah, sure.
Whatever.
They'll watch again the YouTube. It will be up.
Yeah, so they want to definitely check out this drawing, although my handwriting is horrible, but here goes. So when we start off a project,
see, you don't get stuck. You don't get stuck with perfectionitis. Okay.
That's definitely the case when you see my drawings. Anyway, so at 80%, for the sake of this conversation, we're going to deem 80% as good enough. But it could be 90, 95%, could be 70%. But for the sake of this conversation, we're going with 80% as good enough. When we start a project, we can, and we're looking at effort, resources, okay? Mm-hmm. We can go pretty well and pretty fast until we hit about good enough. But if we try to drive it towards perfection, the effort and resources to get that last, make it as close to perfect as possible is skyrocketing, okay?
Right, right.
But now if we look at motivation, right, of a team, they're flying out, they're excited, they move on it until they hit about the good enough stage. And then if you've ever been part of a team where the boss is never, ever happy and not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, you just see the whole morale, the motivation, nosedive. And you might say, okay, well, but it's worth it to make it perfect. Well, you got to look at it. Because a lot of things that seem so close, like, I just give it a little bit more. We're so close. You know, look at how fast we've come. I'm going to try to make it more perfect. And that's where somebody might say, well, just give me 2 more weeks. But inevitably, what looks so close is really so far. And quite often to get that last part of perfection is 2 times the time it took to get us to good enough.
Wow.
So what this really means is when we're making that decision, I want to go for perfection. Do I really want to skyrocket the resources of my organization? And do I want to nosedive the motivation? And the answer quite often is no. But people might say, well, what do you do? Well, here's what to do. The first thing to do is to distinguish your projects from, and make them into four and categorize them into 4 different ways. One type of project is launch and done. Launch and done is at 80%, you launch it and you're done. You know it's not perfect, but you're not going to revisit it. It might be like cleaning out the garage. It might be your filing system. And it might be just a form that your company has developed. And you know what? Maybe a sales tracking thing. And you say, we might revisit it, but it's good enough. And we're not scheduling to look back at it. Then there's a launch and modify. Launch and modify is when we launch at 80% or good enough, and we're gonna modify through feedback. This is where a lot of projects can move, because here's the interesting thing. Most of the time we learn as we're doing. How many times have you seen a company spend so much time trying to figure something out, and ultimately they launch it and there's mistakes? Or how about a company that transformation, you know what, we've thought about this, we have the great strategy, it hits the ground, and you start doing it, and there's all kinds of problems. Because the bottom line is we learn by doing. A good example of this, to kind of think about this, is in sailing. For example, in sailing, the safest time in a sailboat is when it's moving. The time it's the least safe is when it's still, because it's subject to many different winds. And that's the problem. Just like that, we learn as we're doing things. A third option is you launch, and then you launch, modify, and then you relaunch. Mm. A great industry that has mastered this is the restaurant industry. You'll see them do a soft launch and a hard launch. In fact, they'll even say, listen, we know their problems. We're not officially launching. We want to learn. We're going to modify. We're going to learn. And then we'll relaunch. And the fourth option is launch at perfection. Launch at perfection. I know my handwriting.
That's good, but we get the idea.
Yeah. So the thing is, there are times when to launch at perfection. Now, nothing is ever perfect, but as close to perfect as possible. But here's the thing. If we don't tell people what type of project, they are automatically going to defer to what? Launch at perfection. No matter how many slogans we say, you know, what does they say? Enemy of the good.
We've
got all these.
Perfect is, yeah.
They just don't move the needle. They're nice slogans, but what does that mean? So how do we implement this methodology? And I've worked with many organizations over the years that on this, and they've done this very successfully, because some things we need to do. First of all, when we launch at the beginning, when we're trying to figure this out, we need to decide what type of project. Second, we need to decide how will we deem good enough, right? It's one thing to say, but it's a lot harder to identify at what level is good enough. And then the third thing is we need to communicate that. An example would be companies that spend millions of dollars, again, launching a strategy, then there's or an IT system, I see this all the time, mm-hmm. and there's problems. And people go, see, more problems. But all that executive, that CEO ever needed to say was, listen, we're launching this, it's a launch and modify. We've tried to get it as close to perfect, but we know it's not perfect. We're getting it out there, we're gonna adjust it along the way because we wanna use it and we wanna be first to market. So there's gonna be problems, we're gonna make adjustments along the way. So if you communicate this, identify, and actually and be clear on when is good enough, you can outsmart your competition because they're not doing this. That's how to deal with perfectionitis.
Wow. Now we are approaching the close, but there's still we have around 5 minutes left. And one of the primary subjects you cover are the four pillars of leading and executing change, especially during uncertain times. I know you have only around 4 or 5 minutes left. Can you take us through them?
Sure, absolutely. So first one we covered, and as I go through these four pillars, these are the same four pillars that if you wanted to change something about yourself, you wanted to change something about somebody else that you're that's in your life or who you're working with. Mm-hmm. Same thing. The first thing is being crystal clear on the outcome. And we already covered that, the problems right. and what to do about it. The second is make it clear on the value to other people. What's in it for them? Now, you got to think, people need to think through this because it sounds obvious, but here's one thing that doesn't motivate people. And I know people are going to disagree with me, but just hold their hat, so to speak, as I get into this. People are not motivated by money or time. They just aren't. They're motivated by what time and money can do for us. So money and time are enablers. They're not core motivators. An example of a core motivator, and there's eight, so I don't know that we have time to go through that, but let me just give them examples so they can kind of get the idea. One of the core motivators of us, of people, is survival or security. So why would people resist change? If they're afraid, they're going to lose their job. Why do people resist with giving up responsibility or an encroachment on what they perceive as their territory? Because they're afraid, my gosh, if I give up and I start to let other people do parts of my job, if my responsibilities decrease, I could lose my job. Maybe I'll be redundant, as they say. So it's very important to translate. It's okay, and of course we're going to say how the transformation or the change is going to impact and benefit, maybe money or time, but you can't just leave it there. You have to say what's in it for people, career opportunity. It actually, we're going to go through a rough spot, but in the end, we're going to be even more secure in the company. We're going to thrive ultimately. I mean, these are sound nice words, but you got to translate that. But that's the second element of value. Third element is to deal with belief. People need to believe that the outcome, number one, that the value, what's in it for them, is really the case. Because let's say people could be clear, that executive is saying the outcome and value, but I don't believe them. Mm. So we need to convert non-believers into believers. There's a whole section we can do about it. We can do it on another interview. But one of there are three elements, but I'll give you one that's really easy and one to think about is yourself. We need to believe it. Yeah. So often I see people who are not very good at executing the change or transformation because fundamentally they don't really believe it.
Yeah.
So people say, what do I do? You got to educate yourself, and there's many things to do, but the first sale, as they say, begins with ourselves. And so outcome, value, belief, and the fourth one to consider are steps. People need to know what to do, and they can't be big, giant steps. Think about this. Just like a big, giant company transformation or something major, it is like a big mountain. If the steps are so large, people aren't going to take them. But if you make them small and incremental, they can climb a mountain. That's one thing. The other is celebrate successes along the way. I've worked with a lot of organizations and had to change the way they're reframing it because a lot of people, the executive is so focused on what's not getting done, people have a kind of a failure mentality because they're thinking it's not working. They get demoralized instead of saying, wait a minute, On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 represents where we need to go. We're at a 2. You could say, we've got a long way to go. Or we could say, you know what? We're already 20% done. We're moving.
That's right.
It's just the reframe, and it gets people excited. So steps, strategy is crystal clear, and that's the fourth one.
Amazing. We are almost out of time, but before I get to my last question, Steve, how could people get in touch and find out about the great services you offer companies?
Well, I love working with organizations companies, obviously, and government entities, associations. So the easiest way to do this is go to justbehonest.com, justbehonest.com. But here's the thing. If they share how they've used what they've learned and shared it with other people, and they go to justbehonest.com, go to the contact information, and say how they've used it, we'll send them Be a Change Champion for free. The electronic version, but it is the book. All I want them to do is use this stuff.
That's great. Before I let you go, what's a final takeaway, a tip that you could share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
So the final tip is appreciation. It's the one I always love to end with because I think it's just lacking so much in life, is we don't spend nearly enough time appreciating the people around us. And what I'm talking about is appreciating our coworkers. How about our boss? So often somebody will say, my boss is really great. And I'll say, well, how often do you acknowledge your boss? They'll say, well, it's kind of awkward. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but executives, they tend to hear more of the problems than they ever get the appreciation. So two tips on appreciation that'll make a world of difference and people will take and know you're sincere. One is be specific. So say what we appreciate them for. And second, share the result. So it's a world of difference between me saying, you know, thank you for helping me out with that report, versus thank you for helping me out with that report. It had all the detailed information I needed. I didn't even need to go back to you. I was able to move forward. And as a result, we just picked up a customer. So thank you. So specific with result, and people will never question your sincerity.
That was Stephen Gaffney, NSA Million Dollar Speaker Group, a renowned speaker around the world. He wrote many books, including Be a Change Champion. This wraps up a great episode of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR and the iHeart Radio Network. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeart Radio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. Oh, when do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.